Monday, July 18th, 2016. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about how you can sell more. Now, did I get your attention on that first part of it? How you can sell more once your cup is empty. Now, this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our Rockstar Academy program. It's going to be launching this Thursday, July 21st, so let's go ahead and pay the bills. The other day, I was looking at the calendar, and I did a complete double take. I mean, I was thinking to myself, could it be true? Could it be possible that we've hit the halfway point of 2016. I mean, wasn't it just the other day that we were kind of coming out of the gate with all that New Year's piss and vinegar that we're going to conquer the world and we're going to just kind of, you know, make President's Club and make it happen this year? And here we are, halfway through. So, you know, I can't just let that go. You know, I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't get in your face a little bit and just ask you like a really direct question. Are you having the year that you thought that you'd have? Are you selling at least at the levels that you hope for? And is there room for some improvement? And I guess the million-dollar question that I need to ask you, what are you doing about your circumstances? Are you doing anything about it? On July 21st, we're launching our new online program, and it's called Rockstar Academy. And we have one mission only, and it's to help you become the sales rock star that I believe you deserve to be. Now, I have 150 tips, tactics, and ideas that I'm going to be sharing. I have email templates, phone templates, voicemail templates, social networking templates, 5 all caps awesome ebooks, and I have an agenda that looks something like this. We're going to come right out of the gate talking about 20 ways for you to create opportunities. I'm going to show you places to look that you're missing right now, and I can guarantee you your competitors are missing them too. We're going to talk about meticulous pre-call planning, what to look for, where to look for it, and as a bonus, how to reduce the amount of time you're spending researching prospects and clients and things like that. I'm going to show you how to automate that process too. We're going to talk about how to get your emails open, read, and for the bonus point, responded to. How to dramatically warm up your cold calls, as in what to say, how to respond to objections in a way that doesn't sound like you're like pulling like rebuttals from some 1970s bad closing book or something like that, a bad telemarketing book, because that's what they called it back then. Also, how to leave voicemails that help you stand out and again get a response. Isn't it cool when people respond to you? And you know damn well that a lot of people don't respond to you. I mean, like how frustrating is that? How to sell more via your social network. Now, what we're going to do is, or what I'm going to do is, I'm going to show you a step-by-step communication plan where you're not going to even have to think about it. And you can use it from the moment you connect. That's where a lot of those templates are going to come in handy. And I'm going to show you what to say, when to say it, and how to keep those relationships alive so you can transition them off the computer screen. We're going to talk about how to take control of your client and your prospect meetings. We'll talk about several insurance policies that you absolutely need to take out on the front end that you're going to thank me for when these opportunities get to the point when you need to ask for the business. We're going to talk about how to ask better questions and how to take better control and how to get all of the stakeholders involved and engaged even after you leave the meeting. I mean, wouldn't you agree? That's when you're most vulnerable. It's not necessarily when you're in the meeting. It's like all that follow-up and what are people doing and things like that. We're going to talk about how to position yourself as the logical choice, how to reduce doubt and indifference, how to keep people from clinging to the status quo. How about that? That's kind of a cool thing. How to close more deals, and you ready? How to win back the ones that you lose. In fact, I just have tons of ideas that I'm going to share with you that kick in once somebody even tells you no, right? These things are great when they work, but what if, like, you still get a no and somebody still turns you down and they're still going to go in a different direction? Well, your Uncle Paul's got you covered. Now, once the sessions conclude, I'm going to go where no sales trainer has really gone before. I mean, some people do it, not many. And we're going to kind of have like a whole like encore thing that's going to kick in. I have 3 months of weekly reinforcement emails for you and a special refresher email that's going to kick in at the end of it. And the reason why I'm doing this, I'm going to be sharing so much with you, right? Between all the templates, all the tips, all the tactics, all the ideas, all the examples, I don't want you to forget any of it. So I figured with some weekly reinforcement emails and a nice refresher webinar at the end of the whole process, it might be kind of helpful. Now, here's the thing. Now, you guys should know this by now. The way that I do all of my training is that I always deliver it live and I record it. This way, you can truly go at your own pace. So if you want to turn this program into something where, you know, you're only going to check things out maybe every 2 weeks and go at that pace because maybe every week is a little bit too aggressive for you, have at it. If you want to turn this into something that instead of taking maybe 6 months to do it, you want to take a year or a year and a half to do it, God bless, go ahead. I'm not going to say anything. If you would rather attend after hours, you know, 7 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 6 a.m., whatever it is, you can do it because you'll have the recordings as well. So you can truly go at your own pace. Now, if you'd like to learn more, and more importantly, if you want to reserve your seat, because you know how these things work. If you're like me, you have great intentions. You might want to do something. Something sounds interesting. And then you say, yeah, I'll check it out later, or I'll sign up later. Next thing you know, the doors are closed. And we're going to be closing them very, very soon. So what I'd like you to do is visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. I hope to see you all there. I'm looking forward to learning with you, and I'm really excited about this program. Okay, so this week we're discussing how you'll sell more once your cup is empty. Now, this whole concept that we're going to be getting our arms around this week, it was actually inspired by the following question that I received from one of our listeners, Jim Lesko. So a quick shout out to Jim Lesko for inspiring this week's podcast. Now, Jim writes, how do we develop the motivation to make the things we learn a part of our lives? So many people tell me, I know this, then I think, okay, then why don't you do this? So Jim makes a really interesting point. I mean, there's a huge difference between knowing something and actually knowing something and doing it. So right away, it made me immediately think of that motivational story that everybody kind of beats to death, and it's about kind of like the student going to the master and wanting to acquire more knowledge. And forgive me for butchering this. I've just heard it so many times I've been kind of dismissing it, I guess. And what happens is that what the master does is, you know, says, hold out your cup, and then grabs the tea kettle and begins pouring into the cup. And soon, you know, the cup is overflowing and the students will stop. You know, it's overflowing or whatever. And the whole point the master says is that we cannot continue to fill the cup if the cup is not emptied from time to time. And the problem with us as students and just as salespeople is that we walk around with that cup entirely too full, meaning that I think we think that we've got this all figured out when we don't. So what I want to share with you this week are three things that you're going to need if you want to get better at something. I don't care if it's sales. I don't care if there's something in your personal life that you want to change. Maybe it's a bad habit or whatever it is. But these three steps can really help you accelerate to that next level. In fact, I call it the accelerated performance framework. And there are three components of it, and we're going to discuss all three today. And the first element is mindset. The second element is information, and the third element is action. So let's go through them very, very quickly. So It begins with mindset. Everything really, when you think about it, begins with, as Tony Robbins would say, our own personal psychology, how we view the world, how we see things. So there's a lot of components to this. I could easily do, I'm not kidding you, probably two or three podcast episodes just on this one component because it's so important. But really, mindset would include things like the right attitude, belief that you actually can do something, the very thing that you want to get better at, believing in yourself that you can do it and that you just have to find a way, the determination to ascend to the next level, which is that you will do something. See, your ability and your ability to say, I can do that, is very different than actually saying, I will do that, right? Because we're all capable of lots of things, but whether we get lazy or whether we get scared and we just want to procrastinate, whatever it is, doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to do it. But also the urgency to get that must-do attitude, right? So again, it's the determination. Or it really starts with that, well, I can do this. The determination to say, I will do it. The urgency, I must do this. And also, too, the humility and even the vulnerability to become the humble student. And to become the humble student, it's really acknowledging that no matter how far along we're on this life journey that we have, right, this life's journey, that there's so much more that we can learn, no matter how good we are at sales, that there's always much more to learn. And we just embrace it with a sense of humility and a sense of we can learn from everyone. Even if we're a veteran, we can learn from those brand spanking new sales reps, right? And I think it's very, very important as part of this mindset and this attitude that we have is one of curiosity and being inquisitive and having the balls to ask someone, stop, could you explain that again? Could you break it down for me? And helping other people deconstruct how they're getting a result or how they're doing something. That's very, very important. And for some reason, I don't know if it's, well, I do know. I mean, I think it's really our egos getting in the way in sales, but we just like never want to ask someone, well, how did you do that? That's awesome. I mean, okay, you brought in that new account. You're talking to somebody on your team. Wow, you brought in that new account. How did you do it? Could you take me through it? And for some reason, maybe we think that that's acknowledging like we suck or like, you know, they're better than us or whatever it is. And, you know, it's just that's just nonsense. But here's something that I want you to write down. And this is kind of a new discovery for me. I read this over the weekend in Success Magazine, and it just really resonated with me. So I put it in my journal. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, too. But you really, as part of your mindset, want to embrace a mindset of vous-jadez versus déjà vu. I mean, how clever is that? Embracing a mindset of vous-jadez versus déjà vu. Now, this comes from best-selling author Adam Grant. He describes the difference as follows. Déjà vu is when we encounter something, but it seems like we've seen it before. Now, the part I add to that, he didn't say this, but my little Uncle Paul's two cents is that, and therefore we dismiss it, right? Familiarity, to me, doesn't breed contempt. It breeds no attempt. When we're familiar with something, it's like, yeah, I don't have to do that. I know that. I don't have to do that. Right? I mean, does that sound a little bit familiar? It should, because that's kind of what we do in sales, especially, most egotistical profession on the planet. Now, vous-jadez is the reverse. It's when we face something familiar, and yet we see it from a fresh perspective. I want you to think about that for a minute. Vous-jadez is the reverse when we face something familiar, and yet we kind of go about it with those fresh eyes, a fresh lens, a fresh perspective. So let me give you an example. One thing that is guaranteed to get an eye roll from any sales trainer training a group of people is to mention the concept of sending a handwritten thank you card or a handwritten note. You will usually get eye rolls in the audience and people immediately saying, I know this. So what happens is that the audience or the people hearing the message experience deja vu, right? I'm familiar with this, therefore I'm going to dismiss it. And they probably say, I know that. Navuja Day, if you were to kind of have that mindset, you would simply ask yourself the question, yes, I know this, but in what ways can I build my brand by sending thank you cards? Or in what ways could I change this up? Or in what ways can I take what I know and actually, you ready for this? Do it. Think about that concept for a minute. Actually, take what I know, take what I'm familiar with, take what I'm ready to dismiss, and actually do that very thing. Because saying you know something doesn't really get you off the hook. In fact, I think it's both an excuse and a misleading statement. So when you find yourself saying, I know that, right? Oh, yeah, that's sales 101. To me, it's an excuse and it's a misleading statement. It's an excuse, really, to justify why you're not doing it. You see, because you know it. Now, when you think about that, that makes not an ounce of sense. I mean, it really doesn't. So I'm not going to do it because I know it already. I mean, okay, that makes sense. And it's also misleading because knowing and doing are two different things. So what you want to do, I mean, this is all like philosophical stuff that I'm sharing with you. And I really don't like to do a lot of that, by the way, in my practice. I think there's more than enough quote unquote experts doing that. I like to give you the practical stuff, like what can we do today? So let me give you the practical side of that concept. What you want to do, and again, this comes from Tony Robbins, is embrace this concept of pattern interrupt. Pattern interrupt is very, very interesting. Because the theory behind it is that as human beings, we run certain patterns. And there are some limiting behaviors that we just do over and over again, and we run a pattern. For example, you hear something in sales, and maybe you're very quick to say, I know that. And like kind of you're the smart ass in the back of the room folding their arms and kind of kicking back like, I know this, or whatever. So you need something to interrupt that pattern. And perhaps, and you need to find your own, but one of the things that I always teach my students to do is simply ask yourself a question. And I think you have to go brutal and tough love with this one, because really when you start acting like that, you need somebody to come over like almost like, you know, like your mom would do in your kid and like smack you in the face, say, snap out of it, right? You really need that kind of pattern interrupt. And you want to ask yourself, do I know this and I'm actually doing this? Or do I need to shut up, get off my ass, learn my lesson so I can go forth and kick ass? So there's a difference in the mindset there, right? One way, you're being a puss and you're wimping out and you're just lying to everybody, including yourself. The other way, you are growing like 10 story size balls. And you are willing to go after it. So that's one of the things that you can do. Now, the only other thing that I want to say for now, because like I said, I could really spend a lot of time on our own personal psychology and how that gets in the way at times of accelerating our performance and how we get in these ruts and things like that. But the other thing that I want to say, and I'm not just saying this because I sell training for a living, but you might need a little attitude adjustment when it comes to investing both time and money in yourself and in your development. I can tell you that I come across sales reps all the time who have the money, and then they'll like blame their boss or whatever and say, well, you know, my boss doesn't want to pay the $99 to go to your webinar. And I'm saying to myself, this is $99. Like, you don't piss $99 away in a month on some frivolous, stupid kind of crap. I mean, you do, because you're human and you're in sales and that's part of what we do. But like things like that, or you know, like the, in fact, I have one for you. Again, I'm not here to make fun of anybody or whatever it is, but like listening to the excuses that you tell yourself. I had somebody who, and I want to be careful about this because I don't want to see like I'm this judgmental prick that I'm going to sit here and scrutinize every email that I get. Believe me, I have enough of a challenge getting my own act together. So, you know, I'm far from human. I gave up trying to walk on water a long time ago, but I think there's a lesson here. And I think what bothers me about what this person told me is that I know for a fact I've engaged in this very same behavior. But for this person, is with regard to sales training, I did it with regard to weight loss. And I'll talk to you about that part in a second. But what happened was somebody responded to one of my emails and they said to me, yeah, I had done training back in the late 90s, and I went through this course and proceeded to name all the courses they've been through, which is awesome. But they said, now, if this was 20 years ago, I'd gladly go ahead and do some sales training. And this person's a partner in an organization. I know the person's got to be pulling down some good money, was going on to say how good their schedule is and everything else. They have the best of both worlds. But basically what they said was, and I stopped learning 20 years ago. And I said to myself, I mean, what an asinine excuse. I mean, seriously, I mean, like, write to me, hey, you know, I think you're ugly, you're bald, you're overweight, and, you know, I don't know, I heard you have a body odor problem, whatever it is. Or, you know, I heard that you think you can play guitar and you suck. I mean, I could accept that a lot more than somebody telling me some BS excuse, which it's not so much me and my feelings. I'm thinking they're really lying to themselves. And the reason why it bothered me is I remember thinking back to why I was putting off getting on an exercise program and watching what I was eating and weight loss and all that kind of stuff. And I kept saying, well, next week's going to be a better week. I'm going to start next week. And I would get this BS excuses. So you have to listen to yourself. But getting back to the whole attitude thing and the whole mindset, you have to have a mindset that you are willing to invest the time and the money in yourself. You are investing in strange companies right now. If you have a 401k, you are investing in other people and other people's dreams and stuff. How about investing in yourself? Like, one of the things that I've been doing, and I started doing this not only long before I was in sales training, but when I really didn't even have the proverbial pot to piss in, when I was pretty much broke, what I started to do when I was like just getting my life back in order, many of you know, I lost everything I had back in 1995, $60,000 in debt, both of my cars repoed. I mean, and I was not feeling like I was a winner at that point, as you can imagine. Two young kids. And it was brutal. Actually, one kid and another one on the way at that point. And one of the things I started doing when I just stopped feeling sorry for myself was I started every time I would get a commission check, because most jobs that I worked in those days, you'd have, you know, two paychecks a month. One paycheck would be straight up salary or base or whatever you want to call it. And the other one was the one that included your commission. So what I would do on that second check is I would reinvest a little bit in myself. Depending on how big that commission check was, would determine what I would do. And what, at a minimum, that's when I started going to, like back in those days, you'd go to a bookstore. I'd go to the bookstore. I'd get one book on sales. And when you think about it, even by today's you know, currency, a book wasn't going to cost you $14, $15. I mean, if you really like go a little crazy, it might cost 20 or 30, but generally it's under 20 bucks. Like, you're not going to find one idea in that book that's going to give you a return on that investment. I think sometimes our problem is that we make all this money in sales, but you ready for this? I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I think we're cheap bastards. I mean, seriously, and what a shitty message. There it is. We have broken the S-curse barrier the very first time in 6 years. And I'm going to say it again. We are sending a shitty message to our brain, like, I'm not worth it. So you really want to rethink that one. And perhaps every commission check, you're going to reinvest in yourself somehow. And what I did was, sometimes it was a book. And then maybe it was a bigger check or whatever it is. I would get like a suit. I would go to a webinar. I would go to a sales training course or whatever it is. I've hired coaches. Right now, I have three coaches, just so you know. And one of the things that I do is, again, still to this day, 21 years after I started this whole concept of reinvesting in myself, to this day, I look at my monthly income. I have a better month. I do more things for myself. And that's the way it works. And I will tell you, as somebody who has been doing this for 21 years, I have gotten an incredible return on my investment. You really have to do the same thing too. So you have to have a pattern interrupt here. And really what you want to do is you have to have something that you ask yourself each and every month. I mean, you know, when you find yourself hesitating to take some sales training or to buy a book or whatever it is, you need to have something that kind of kicks you in your rear end and gets you up and about and embracing these things, because learning has to be a regular thing. We don't just do it here and there. We don't just do it when we think about it. Sales in the business world, it's constantly evolving. We have to keep up with it. And I want to just tell you, I'm sorry, my podcast, my rules, but you are listening to me today on this podcast and you read my words and maybe you're part of my LinkedIn group, maybe even you're my client and you're listening, you are, or I'm in front of you today because I was willing to evolve, and I'm continually willing to evolve. And I remember my revelation came in 2008 when I realized that beyond the walls of the company I was working for, nobody knew who Paul Castain was. And at that point in my life, I had wanted to write a book. And I was like, well, that's going to be brilliant, rock star, because how could you possibly sell enough books to make any impact on the world if the only people who know who you are the people that you work with? Now, granted, I was blessed and I had like an 850-person sales force that I was the sole guy responsible for their training. But still, man, that's not enough. And I realized there was this whole other world. So I went outside my comfort zone, and having sold a certain way at that point for 25 years of my life, I realized that the world was changing and that I needed to start embracing things like LinkedIn and Twitter and blogging, personal branding and podcasting and all this. And I didn't let it get overwhelming. I mean, back then, if you had taken me into the future and you shown me all the things that I'm doing today, I probably would have ran away very, very quickly, right? But instead, what I did was I took it a bite at a time. And really, that's the old saying. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's how you have to eat that elephant. So the next thing that I want to go to, it's the second component in the accelerated performance framework. And it's information. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one because I just think that you're already there. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm preaching to the choir on the importance of information. But what I really want to talk about with this one is something that we talk about in the sales training circles, right? When we have all our little top secret meetings and we put all you guys on double secret probation, and this is one of the things that we talk about. We talk about something called the knowledge trap. And what happens with the knowledge trap is that, again, people realize, well, I have this great attitude. I want to learn. And yeah, I am a humble student. Maybe you're hearing me talk about those things before. Yeah, I do all of these things that Paul's talking about. I'm a humble student and I have no problem asking somebody how they did it. And I check my ego at the door and I'm always getting books and listening to things. Paul's is like one of like, you know, 17 podcasts that I listen to. But the problem is this, when it comes to the actual information, is that many of us are on information overload. And just to share a few of my pet statistics that have become Uncle Paulisms over the last few years. You know, the average person now is consuming about 100,000 words of content each and every day in various forms. And it's about 34 gigabytes of data each and every day. Let me put this into a visual for you. If you grab a book off your bookshelf right now, right? Hopefully you're at home or like in the office. I want you to grab one book that you like off your bookshelf and another book that you hate. Grab those books. And what I want you to do is take the book that you like and stand it up. The book that you hate, I want you to saw it in half so you never have to read that atrocity again. And you should be looking at 1.5 books. That is the equivalent of about 100,000 words every day. So you're reading about a novel and a half. And to put it into just even more of a visual, imagine reading War and Peace every 4 days of your existence. War and Peace every 4 days. That's how much information that we're consuming. So what happens is, we say, I've got this attitude. I'm listening to Castain's podcast, and we think that's enough. So many times they call this the knowledge trap in training because it stops after the knowledge. So, you know, I want to give you kind of an analogy in the best way that I can to kind of describe this to you. One of the things I talk about when I teach people this whole accelerated performance framework is I want you to pretend like from the time you were a kid, you wanted to be a pilot, a plane, right? You wanted to pilot a plane from the time you were a little boy or a little girl. And when you were little, your parents were giving you coloring books, and you were coloring pictures of planes, and you were watching documentaries on planes, and you were on the in the internet, and you were learning about planes. You read every damn book on the subject of planes. And by the way, your attitude was like, I am going to be the best damn pilot this world has ever seen, while you're consuming all that information. So again, you've got the attitude, man, I am going to kick ass. I am going to be the best pilot. And you're reading all these books and you're watching all these shows or whatever. Do you think it would be wise for somebody to get in a plane with you after that? Of course not, because you're missing a really important component, and that's the action step. So before I go into the action step, let me give you a pattern interrupt. When you find yourself consuming some information, like right now, I'm hoping that my message is resonating with you. And I'm hoping also that you've pulled the car over, or you're listening to this in a safe place where we don't have to worry about you cracking up the car because you want to make a note to self or whatever. But whenever you come across information that really resonates with you and you say, I really want to try that idea Castaigne's talking about, or this other sales trainer or whatever, another blog post or whatever, what you want to do is you just want to say to yourself, in what ways will I apply this? In what ways will I apply this? So like right away, you're taking the message and saying, you know what? I've got this appointment coming up next week. I think I can try that idea that Paul was talking about here. Then what you want to do is you want to get it on the calendar. You guys know what I say, that you can say all day long, hey, that's a great idea, and yeah, I'm going to try that. But if that's all you're going to do, you might as well say amen, because all you have there is a glorified prayer. So to move it from glorified prayer to like high probability type of activity, you need to get it on the calendar, and then you need to respect that appointment. So the other thing too, when it comes to that, you really need to make sure that you also have your learning on the calendar. It's an important thing, and it shouldn't just happen when it happens, right? That's, to me, seat of the pants. It should be a regular thing for you, whatever it is. But that's what you do in order to make sure you go to the third component. And the third component, and the reason why a lot of people fail, is because they have the attitude. So they're sitting and they're wondering, why am I in a rut? I've got this great attitude. And the information, man, I'm consuming a lot of things, and I'm going on this webinar, and I'm going on that course, and I'm reading this book, and I'm always listening and everything else. But they lack the third component, which is action. So instead of just consuming the blog posts, the articles, the podcasts, the tips, tricks, tactics, you ready for this? We take action. We experiment. We modify. Sounded like I was getting emotional there, like I promised myself I wouldn't cry or say the S curse, and I'm doing both. I'm crying over thinking about saying the S curse. Anyway, we simplify things and we tweak things and we consider this whole crazy world of sales one big laboratory or laboratory, if you prefer speaking like that. I don't know who the hell, except maybe in like a horror movie, speaks that way. But this is one of the reasons why I like keeping a journal, just so you know, because it goes back to my attitude and my mindset. I find that when my journal is out, when I'm listening to podcasts and webinars and when I'm reading things, I always, when I'm reading a book, I have it right there, right by the Kindle. What I find is that it's reinforcing my need to be a humble student. I don't have the journal out so that it's just one more thing on my lap or one more thing on the desk. I'm basically telling my brain, okay, brain, you know, here we are. We're in this together. You better find some stuff in here that I can use, because Mrs. Uncle Paul wants Uncle Paul making some more money here. We got now 3 kids in college. How do you guys like that? 3 kids in college. I will ponder that for the rest of this podcast. But anyway, so you want to actually get out there and try these things. Now, there is this old saying, and then there's this thing that's beaten to death by trainers. So, but it really has to be said. I try to avoid all those cliches. I don't know if you guys notice that. I try to avoid sounding like all the other people. Not that I don't love them and think they have things to bring to the party. It's just that I was tired of hearing some of this stuff 30 years ago. So anyway, but there's this old concept of practice makes perfect. And I remember Rick Pitino had written this book. I think it was called Success is a Choice in the late 90s, maybe 1999, 2000. I remember reading it, and really there was a concept in there that resonated with me. And I'm going to beat the hell out of the quote, so forgive me. But he said something like, put aside your preconceived notions that practice makes perfect. And then he said, perfect practice makes perfect. So I want you to think about that, because, see, the idea of practice making perfect is misleading, because what we think is that the more we do something, the better we're going to get at it. That is not necessarily true, because you might be doing it wrong. And I will use myself here as the poor example. Many of you know I've been playing guitar forever. And I remember when I first started getting serious, and I had been practicing 6 hours a day forever. And I was like, all right, now that I'm doing all this practice or whatever it is, I kind of outgrew the teacher I had. And I went to this guy, Steve, who I'm still going to now 31 years later. And incredible musician, but even better teacher, where he really gave you lessons that you would never forget. Kind of like teaching you how to fish, right? He taught you how to fish really, really well. And I remember going to him, and I had been practicing 6 hours a day. And he said, all right, let's see what you got, kid. And he was very impressed. I could see it on his face and everything. And he said, just point blank to me. So he goes, so do you want me to just tell you what you want to hear? Or do you want me to tell you what you need to hear? And I said, by all means, give it to me straight, Doc. He said, you're a good player. Your technique sucks. And what's happening is you're playing wrong. And I go, what do you mean I'm playing wrong? I mean, and I was a little bit arrogant, I admit. I was like, I really wasn't bad, you know, and I've been putting all this practice in. He goes, there's no doubt. I could see that. And I could, you know, you're bringing a great attitude to it. And that's a big part of it. You keep that. But I'm telling you right now, you're playing wrong. And he was right. What happened was, the way I was holding my left hand, I'm a righty, by the way, left hand is on the fretboard, my thumb was not properly supporting. It wasn't centered between the frets on the back of the neck, and it was over the neck. And what happened was, it was like my fingers were almost tripping over themselves. And my right hand, I was leaning on the strings, which again, I was tripping over myself. It was making it harder instead of having it kind of almost like with the pinky planted on the guitar and then going from there. So what he did was, he said, so what I'm going to basically have to do with you, if you want to get better, you have to unlearn this. It's like you've been a righty your whole life. I got to make you into a southpaw. You're going to have to undo a lot of things. You're going to get worse before you get better, and you're going to want to quit about a million times. But if you can get through all that and unlearn that, you're going to be a brilliant guitar player. Now, I don't know that I've ever achieved the brilliant guitar player thing, but I can tell you, well, within like 3 months or whatever it was, my speed improved dramatically. I was playing a lot cleaner because my hands were in the right place. They weren't, again, making more difficult work for themselves to do. My strength in my hand got a lot better, which, again, increased my speed and enabled me to do things that were more complicated on the guitar. So here's what that means. It's really a long-winded way of saying that it's possible that you might be practicing the wrong way. And this right now is where you want to consider having a good coach. Now, I'm not going to really even go there in this particular session, but there's a lot of things you need to be watching for with a good coach. My recommendation is you get someone who is actually still in the trenches. And that's one of the biggest selling points that I always talk to people about when they're considering my coaching services, is that many sales trainers, many sales coaches, they've been doing the speaking circuit and authoring thing and stuff for so long that they really haven't sold anything since, like, I don't know, 2003 or something like that. And they lose touch. So you want somebody who's been there and done that, because what they can do is they can put you on the right path to the right action and have you practicing, so to speak, the right way and eliminating some of the traffic jams on your journey and all. But because they're still in the trenches, they can do that. But if they're giving you some information that really from their toolbox comes from a toolbox they used in 2003 or 2005 or whatever it is, well, the world has changed dramatically. And I want you to think about that. So You might, and that really goes back to attitude. You might want to be make yourself vulnerable enough that you actually hire a sales coach. When you look at how much it costs versus how much you can make on that investment, most people, it's a no-brainer. So that's something for you to think about. And by the way, I would give you that exact same advice if I wasn't in sales training, because I was following that same advice. My career took off dramatically. I mean dramatically, when I made myself vulnerable enough to take on some coaches. And I also think it sends a message to the brain that this is important enough to me that I'm going to invest my hard-earned money in. I have some skin in the game now, so we better get some results. And I will tell you, hands down, and from my own experience, that the information that I get for free versus the information that I acquire when I invest in myself, I am not going to let the information that I paid for rot and rust. But the information that I get for free, and I still use this example over and over again, I will never forget. There was this thing that Seth Godin had authored years ago, and it was free. It was like 115 pages or something like that, and it was on a concept that I thought was brilliant. In this PDF, he talks about not a complaint piece, but what's wrong with the school system and how it was really designed during the industrial age when people really had to comply and kind of march in a straight line. You know, things were kind of, you know, systematically done back then, and how that system was great for back then, but today we need people who are going to color outside of the lines and maybe break the rules and things like that. So that's what this was about. To this day, I have had this on my home screen, so I wouldn't forget about it for, I think it's now 3 years? 3 years at least, maybe 4 years? The damn thing was free, but I will tell you, every one of his books that I paid for, I have read like 3 times. So I'm just telling you that there is a very big difference in consuming free things versus investing in yourself. So there you have it, folks. I've given you a few things to ponder. The biggest thing is this. In anything that you're doing, I think that when you take a look at your personal psychology, how you're viewing the task, do you have that urgency? Do you have that willingness? Are you vulnerable enough to ask for help? Which is, for salespeople, again, that's a big thing we have to overcome. And again, that whole attitude of being the humble student, knowing when to dismiss that I know that kind of crap, and having that tough love session with yourself and saying, wait a minute, hold it, time out. Am I saying I know this and I'm actually doing this, or do I need to get off my ass and actually stop making excuses and do it? The information that we're taking on, and again, not just consuming all this information, sort of having a mentality of never leaving the scene of information that is of a training nature or, you know, something that's going to help us with sales without saying, okay, let's get the action verbs going and having something in place that you get it on the calendar. Think about it. If you right now, I don't know how long you've been listening to my podcast or how long you've been reading my blog posts or whatever. And if you've enjoyed the tidbits that I've shared for any amount of time, even if, let's just say, it's only been a year. Some of you have been with me since 2008 when I started. 8 years, man. That made me sound old just even saying that. But imagine if just for the last year that here and there you are actually taking the things that you learned with me and you went out there and you tried it. You got it on your calendar. How many new ideas would that have brought you? How much money could that have brought to you? And then really that component right there kind of epitomizes the final component in the accelerated performance framework. It's the action step. Again, instead of just consuming, we are doing, we are experimenting, we are tweaking and modifying and making it our own, changing words around, whatever we have to do. And then we are being mindful of the fact that it's not practice that makes perfect. It's perfect practice that makes perfect. Or as my friends in the sales training industry like to say, or in the training industry love to say, practice makes permanent. right? So that's something to ponder. But anyway, there you have it, folks. Once again, I'm hoping that you guys will become the humble student. You'll join us this Thursday, July 21st, for our Rockstar Academy program. And if you have any questions, I want you to email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. Once again, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.